You're listening to the Effortless Life Podcast, episode 35. What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Effortless Life Podcast, where we show busy entrepreneurs like you how to create the bigger impact you deserve without burning out. Because when we say effortless, we literally mean that. We equip you with the tools and the mindset and the clear plan you need to create the freedom and impact you want in a way that doesn't depend solely on your hard work and effort. And I'm your host, Courtney Elmer, and I just want to say thank you so much for being here with me today. I am especially excited that you're here because you're about to meet my good friend and today's special guest, who's here to show you why, despite popular opinion, you don't actually need a bigger email list or a large social media following to grow a sustainable, successful online business. My friend, Jen Casey, who you're going to hear on the show today, is known by many as the go-to brain-based business coach who helps entrepreneurs awaken their vision, take inspired action, and make money doing what they love faster. And today you're going to get an exclusive insider's look at how she built a sustainable digital business with no social media following, no email list, and no clue how to build an online course. You're also going to hear how within a year and a half, she did over $500,000 in sales and has helped hundreds of students achieve incredible results. And lucky for you, today she's going to share her secrets so that you can do the same. And when you finish today's episode, you'll discover why strategies like sales funnels and marketing tactics alone won't get you far. You'll also learn the psychological reason why some struggle while others succeed. Jen is going to give you the inside scoop on the real reason that people have money objections. And here's a hint, it ain't about the money. Plus, she's going to show you how to use the power of psychology to build and sell more of your programs, your products, or your services. So if you're excited to hear how you can level up your business without burning out, yep, even if you don't have a huge following, then get ready because this episode is for you. And if this episode inspires you in some way, I know for a fact that Jen would love to hear your biggest takeaway. So DM her on Instagram at HeyJenCasey and tell her you heard her episode here on The Effortless Life and let her know one action you're going to take after listening. All right, you ready to dive in? This one you're going to love.
Globally ranked among the top shows in business and education, we're changing the way entrepreneurs work by changing the way they think about work. If you're ready to run your business like a real CEO, instead of your business running you, you're in the right place. You don't have to work as hard as you think you do to create the influence, income, and impact you deserve. It's time for a new way to do business. This is the Effortless Life Podcast. Here's your host, Courtney Elmer.
Jen, welcome to the show. I am so excited that you're here today and for what we're going to dive into and just our topic of conversation. So thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is going to be a really powerful conversation.
Yes, absolutely. So I would love to just start, you know, to have you tell our listeners who you help, how you help them, and kind of what got you into doing what it is that you do.
Yeah. So my name is Jen Casey. I'm a brain-based business coach. And I primarily work with online coaches who want to build and sell online programs using psychology so that they can really create those transformational world-class results for their clients. And for me, I really got into that. I mean, it started back in 2011. I was kind of an accidental entrepreneur. I was working as a bartender and waitress while auditioning and in the midst of an acting career. Musical theater career. And I just saw how I could roll up to an audition and a friend who had just been on Broadway was now also at the same audition. I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, show clothes. So now I'm auditioning again. And that just started happening more and more. And I realized how much uncertainty there was in that. And that just didn't align with my personality. I thought I was going to get to explore and perform and connect with people. And instead, I spent 90% of my time in audition rooms, waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And that just wasn't working for me. And I saw too that a lot of those friends of mine who were successful in their careers, in between jobs, they would be back working in restaurants. Those are the jobs that you get when, you know, to fill in space. And I just knew that was not going to be for me. I did not want to be a TGI Fridays lifer. And that kind of began my my introduction into entrepreneurship. I had signed up with a network marketing company. This is back in 2011, right out of college, and just saw the potential of being able to create income online. I was not afraid of hustling, and so that wasn't a problem. Super self-motivated, and I was like, yeah, I could do this. Of course, it was ignorance on fire at that moment in time, and it all seemed so much easier. I was like, yeah, you know, you just like post a link on social media and people buy from you. Bing, bang, boom, like millionaire. Not exactly. So, you know, I kind of dabbled for a couple of years, and really in 2014, I got very serious about it, because at that previously, it was just kind of side income that was kind of filling in the gaps as I was auditioning and performing. And in 2014, I got really serious, started really growing this health and fitness coaching business as a fitness instructor. I had this whole other chapter to what I was doing online. And then in the end of 2015, it was actually New Year's Eve, I had a really big aha moment revelation where I was sitting at my computer at 9:30 at night, still trying to hit those last end of the year goals. And I remember calling my now fiance, and he's like, what are you doing? We're going to be late. We're going to miss the ball drop. And I said, I just need a little bit more time. And when I hung up the phone with him, I was like, wow, this is really stupid. Like, I have no, like, the whole reason why I really transitioned into going all in with an online business was so that I could have control over my schedule, so that I could have control over my income. In fact, the day that I quit 2 years before my serving job, it was on Easter, and I realized how ridiculous it was that I was away from my family, serving other families to make sure that they all could be together. And shout out to all the service workers, but I was just like, I can't do that anymore. Like, I need to figure out a different way to create revenue and have an income and have sustainability. And so that December 31st, 2015, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I realized in that moment that I had chased goals that weren't actually mine. And that was a huge turning point. After that, people were reaching out to me, asking me questions about business and how I had built the business to where I had brought it to in health and fitness. And that was a huge, another awakening. Like, there's so many layers to all of our journeys. And that's kind of why I started like at the beginning, just because I hope that people see that there's so much power in the pivot. There's so much in your evolution. And I had so many different iterations of what I do today, but the core purpose is always the same. It was just like to show up and serve and help people. Even when I was performing, it was to show up and serve people and to elevate their vibration in some capacity. And that's still what I'm doing today. So when I transitioned into doing business coaching, at first it was, you know, all about the strategy. I did that for a couple of years, had a lot of fast success with that. And what I quickly realized in that business coaching journey was that it wasn't about the strategy. And this is really where kind of the NLP began to come into place, and really looking at the psychology of understanding why certain people were having results and why certain people were struggling and really suffering. So I remember I had a group coaching program at the time, and there was about 140 people in it. So it was a big group. And I'm always like looking at the data. So more than 100 people, we can get some pretty good data points. So I'm like, okay, 140 people. Why is it that all of these people are being given the same opportunity, the same program, the same coach, the same coaching calls, and yet some people are absolutely killing it? If you guys have been in a group coaching program, you've probably seen this dynamic emerge where there's like the rock star who's just crushing it. There's like the underdogs who are so close, but they keep getting in their own way because they've got all these limiting beliefs. But there's just this underlying potential that's so obvious to everyone else in the group. Then there's like the ghosts who just absolutely never show up. The lurkers who just kind of watch the group, occasionally post, but are like not really present. The cheerleaders who don't actually do any work themselves, but they just comment on everybody else's stuff, tell everybody how amazing they are. Right, so you start to see this kind of dynamic emerge in a group coaching program. And for me, I was getting frustrated with why there was such a disparity in the results. Is it me? Is it the program? And that was in part true. And I think a lot of people run into that. So I really kind of went on this journey, this quest of how do I make the most comprehensive, complete coaching program that gets people from point A to point B and doesn't leave people out based on their learning style, their personality type, their way in which they like to process information. And so that was kind of the beginning. Like I saw that as a problem in my own business. And I had no idea that that would be like the thing that I'm so passionate about and coach around and teach around now. But yeah, that was really the beginning of really seeing this huge problem in the marketplace. And I think it's actually, you know, even more so now with, you know, especially right now in this moment with more and more people coming online, more and more people creating courses and programs. And in the people that I've coached before they started working with me, there was just kind of like this, well, that's just how it is. Like some people do the work, some people don't. If people have money objections, like it's because they're not ready. And I'm just like, I don't subscribe to any of that. I think that's really lazy thinking, actually, calling it out, right? And I had that thinking as well, because that's what I had been taught. That like, oh, if somebody has money objections, it's because they're not ready. And it's like, no, if somebody has money objections, it's because your messaging is probably not clear. It's because, you know, they don't really see how the transformation. So all of that stuff I got really obsessed with. And yeah, I'm really seeing quite a shift happening in the online space with more competition, essentially, like more saturation, more people stepping into course creation, that there is like this huge opportunity to really start incorporating more of the psychology, more of the brain-based stuff, not only into your marketing and messaging, but into your courses and programs, all through the way that you coach and teach. So I think there's a fun conversation here that we can kind of unpack some more of this, but yeah.
Yes. And I'm just sitting over here nodding, because it's so funny, like listening to you, I'm like, oh my gosh, we have so much in common that I didn't even realize, like the musical theater, like starting off MLM, you know, and it really does boil back down to, I'm a 1-wing 2 on the Enneagram. So it's like just to show up and serve people and help people and like help them in their journey. And like, that's what's fulfilling for me. You know, it's never been about the money or like the recognition or anything. It's like, that's where I get my fulfillment. And just what you said about, you know, when that shift happened for you, recognizing how much power there is in the psychological side of things, why we do what we do, how we're wired as humans. And it is so interesting to see it play out. And I see this a lot too, it, you know, working with students and clients who come because they're so frustrated that they're working as hard as they humanly possibly can in the amount of hours of the day that they have, doing all the things that everyone else is telling them to do, the things they think they should do, that's going to get them closer to whatever goal it is that they've set for themselves, when really they're just burning up that energy, spinning their wheels, because they don't realize that it's their mind that needs to be kind of recalibrate it, right? So that they can, you know, then just move forward and actually hit those results. Yeah. I see this all the time. And I think it's crazy. And I'm so excited to dive into this with you because this stuff is my jam too. And it's just like, gosh, if more people could just recognize that stress doesn't come from the things that are happening in their external world. Stress shows up externally because of the things happening in our internal world. And so it's like, when we can just acknowledge that truth and say, okay, so what is it in my internal world then that's causing me to feel all of this stress and overwhelm and have that experience of that in my life? That's when things can really start to shift and change and those results can start to happen.
Yeah, it's all a mirror. Anything that we're experiencing externally, I mean, if we want to go down like more of like the metaphysical quantum physics side of things, like anything that you're experiencing internally is being reflected externally. So if people are giving you money objections, for example, it's usually because you probably maybe haven't invested in yourself, or you don't believe in the value of your course or program, or there's some kind of resistance around that price point, or you don't believe that you can attract clients. There's something in your vibration that is creating resistance that's not in full alignment with the results and the thought of what you want.
Yes, totally. And you had mentioned something called limiting beliefs. And I think when a lot of people hear that term thrown around, and it's becoming more and more popular, like at least in the circles that I hang out in, it's around all the time. People are talking about limiting beliefs. But I think a lot of people don't fully grasp what that actually is and how it applies to them. So could you break that down a little bit for us? And for those listening that are like, yeah, I heard that term and it seems kind of obvious, like a belief that's limiting me in some way, but I don't really know what that means. To just clarify that a bit, because it is so powerful and it's so important for people to understand if they want to hit that next level in their life and in their business or their career.
Totally. So my kind of perspective on this is that all beliefs are limiting, right? All beliefs are limiting in some capacity. And so the way that I usually look at belief change work with myself, with the people that I coach, is it's really a quote unquote limiting belief in the context of how people describe it now, like a preventative belief. Like, I feel like limiting is maybe not the right, that's become like the catchy term for it, but I think we need an updated version of that. But like, so the block or the belief that's preventing you from achieving what you want, you can tell based on literally that if the belief is not in alignment with your highest desire. So I have given an example recently on my podcast about around money, that all beliefs are neutral. So if somebody has the belief or the thought, I have $10,000 in my bank account, we can all agree that that's a neutral thought. However, each individual person is what creates context around that belief. So for one person, I have $10,000 in the bank account could be, you know, this huge win for them. Maybe they've been in tens of thousands of dollars worth of debt. And so for them to be in the green is a massive change in their reality. So for them, that thought or that goal on their goals list or whatever it may be, that's a very high vibration thought for them. It's really moving them into a new level of expansion. On the other side of things, you could have somebody saying, I have $10,000 in my bank account. We could create a different context for that. This person, person B, had a multi-million dollar business and had hundreds of thousands or $1 million in the business. And now they have $10,000 in their bank account. And so for them, belief hasn't changed. Belief hasn't, or sentence hasn't changed, thought hasn't changed, belief hasn't changed. But the context and the interpretation around the belief has changed. And so now for that person, their interpretation, that could be a sign of financial ruin if they've only got $10,000 in the bank account. Or maybe it means that they bought a house and they spent all their money investing into some asset, right? So I think that's where we can have a lot of fun as coaches and really looking at things without our own layers and interpretations on top of them and just seeing things as objective observers and recognizing that all things are neutral, but it's simply the interpretation and the projection that we put onto a belief that is how we label things positive, negative, good, bad, right, wrong.
Yes, we assign the meaning to it. It's kind of like, you know, you have a launch, right? You launch this course or this program or this whatever into the world. And maybe, according to your expectation, the launch didn't go as well as you wanted it to, right? You wanted 50 sales and you got 5. Or you wanted 500 sales and you got 50. Whatever it might be. You know, it didn't go according to your plan or your expectation. You have a choice there. You could either make it mean something about you, right? Or I'm a failure, my business is failing, or this is never going to be successful, or whatever story you want to tell yourself. Or you could look at it, as you're saying, you know, from more of that objective standpoint, like, okay, if this is just neutral, this is not, you know, this doesn't actually mean anything about me. It just is what it is. It gives us a much more responsive place to work from, to learn from, to grow from, as opposed to this reactionary emotional place that so many people live from without realizing it. And that's why this stuff is so important, because when we can learn to detach our emotion from whatever the thing is that has happened, right? $10,000 in my bank account, or this launch didn't go so great, or whatever it might be, and recognize that we are the ones who assign the meaning to it, and that we are responsible for interpreting it, you know, we can learn to detach ourselves from that a little bit. Mm. And I think there's a lot of power in that. Yeah. I'm really curious too, like along the way, you know, and in your journey, because I know for me, I've had many moments like this. So I'm still like, you know, these things that just have been under the surface, these stories I've told myself, I'm like, oh, that's what's been keeping me stuck all this time. Like, you know, when you realize it, what were some of the big ones that maybe stand out to you along your journey? You know, like, maybe a belief that you had that was under the surface that you were assigning meaning to and interpreting, you know, making it mean X, Y, or Z. But when you recognize that and kind of looked at it from more of that neutral standpoint, it changed everything for you.
Hmm. I have a couple that kind of jump out. The first one was around confidence. I remember listening to an audio program, gosh, this was probably like 2011 or before. And I remember listening to an audio program that suggested that confidence was a habit. And I was like, what now? Confidence is a habit? I thought that confidence was something that you were just born with or you weren't. Wait a minute. You're telling me that I am not destined to just be this unconfident being? Like, I have the potential to actually step into that? So that was a huge shift for me and kind of popped the nonsense bubble that I had. And I didn't even really understand how we create these models of the world with our beliefs at that time. But that was really huge for me in that moment. Another one was interesting that I caught around money. I remember I was really struggling to make money in my business, and I was still bartending, working in catering at the time, and I sold my first $3,000 package. And I remember going for a walk after that, and it seemed very unreal because it was something that I had thought about and visualized for so long. And I was out for my walk, and I noticed a thought popping in of, okay, you got to figure out how to make money, got to figure out how to make money, got to figure out, wait a minute. And I was like, whoa, where'd that come from? No, I don't. I'm good. We're good right now. I have figured it out. And then I kept walking, and then all of a sudden it would pop back up again. Got to figure out how to make money. Got to figure out how to make money. And I had no idea. I didn't consciously realize that that thought was something that occurred like every 5 minutes. It was like it essentially was my mantra. Like anything that we're repeating all the time. I remember talking to one of my clients, and she had something similar. And I said to her, do you maybe want to choose a different mantra? She said, what do you mean a mantra? I was like, well, what's, she's like, that's not my mantra. What's a mantra? She goes, something you repeat all the time. Oh no, that's my mantra. It's like, yeah, that's your mantra. So I realized for me that, you know, as I had kind of, and essentially it's like, well, if I had that belief, how was I able to manifest that? Well, I had been doing so much other work, so much intentional work around changing my money beliefs. And that was, you know, vibrationally so much stronger, so much more intense, but that kind of was overriding that other belief, even though it was there. So I share that and want to just point that out, because I think there's so many people that think, oh, if I have a limiting belief, it means I'm not going to be able to have success. I have to clear everything. And like, no, you don't. Everybody has some belief that is limiting them in some capacity. And that's part of this journey that we're all on, of kind of peeling back these layers, coming back to our core, essential, most pure version of ourselves. And really, this is all a game. We're all playing this game as human beings on planet Earth of how do I create my desires in this three-dimensional world, really identifying the universe a lot and how we can call in the things that we want the most. And so kind of looking at it from a belief lens, you were saying before, you know, detaching from emotions. And I think that's such a powerful point. And one of the things that I always say to my people is like, all success is state dependent. So when we are looking at kind of the communication model, even of NLP, and it's really, it's not just NLP, it's the way that we as human beings interpret and process information. We're being given information through our five senses. We are filtering it through our beliefs, our values, our identity, all of these different things that, you know, we've created. This is where limiting beliefs come in. And then we create interpretations in our mind. We create stories, pictures, and movies about what that actually is. So, you know, you think about, I don't want to be in debt. Well, don't want to be in debt. You create a specific picture of that. I have $10,000 in the bank account. You have a picture in your mind of what that looks like. And it could be a fast picture, but that we have to create pictures, right? And so, or we don't have to, but we do, most of us. There are some people that actually don't think in pictures, which is really interesting and fascinating, but there's some people that don't, but most people do. And then from that picture or from that language, we create that internal representation. And then we go into an emotional state. There's an emotional state that we create from each thought or belief. And then we also want to look at our physiology, how we're carrying our body, and how that's impacting our state, because all success is state dependent. And so the most successful people that I know are masters of managing their state. So like you were saying before, when it comes to launching, the people who we see struggling the most during a launch are the ones that have not yet figured out how to manage their state. And so when a certain problem arises, they spiral out of, you know, out of control, and they're freaking out and they're yelling at their team and they're, you know, going into a tizzy. Whereas the people who have done this work, they're able to detach from the story, stay clear in their emotional state of the intention that they set, the visualization that they did initially, because they are still connected to this being a great success. And they're able to, by stepping out of the chaotic emotion that would be an interpretation of the quote unquote problem, they're able to look at that and say, okay, how do we solve this? Instead of, oh my God, why is this happening? It's because it sucks. I didn't do a good job. Things are going wrong. Oh my God, I knew this was going to be a failure. They step back and say, okay, what's the problem? Oh, okay. And then they're able to see it's because our landing page button isn't working properly. The zaps aren't working. It's because people are not saying, right. Then they can actually look at the data and be linear about the way in which they figure out how to solve that problem. But we can't solve those problems if we're in a negative state. We think about it. When you're in a depressed, powerless, angry state, it's just like everything seems like a problem. If you're with somebody, like your significant other, I know a lot of you guys are in that place right now where you're stuck at home, right? And if you're in a negative state, probably the person that you're living with, everything they do is just annoying you. You're like, I don't know why, like just the way that they like chew, the way they look at me today, like everything just is annoying. So that's when we're in an emotional state, that's also our mood is filtering the way in which we see the world, the way in which we interpret the things around us. That's why two people can go and see the exact same movie and have totally different experiences. One person says it's the most life-changing movie. The other person thinks it was the biggest waste of time and they wanted to leave early. Right?
Yes. Oh, so powerful and so good. Oh my gosh, you guys listening, if you're somewhere where you can write that down, like all success is state dependent. You know, pull over on the side of the road if you're driving and like literally put a note in your phone, screenshot, put it on the background. Like this is so important to realize because like you said, when we can become masters of our state, then all of a sudden the emotional side of us, which I feel as a culture, in general, we need to learn so much more about. We need to talk about this so much more because it is very much a part of us and very much a part that we are never taught. We're never clued into. We're never taught how to listen to or interpret or manage that. And so this is a journey that, you know, if you want to hit the next level, like you've got to learn how to do this. Like there's just no other way to say it. Like you have to learn how to first be aware, become more aware of your state, and then learn tools to manage it, to navigate through. It's so funny as you were describing that. I was like, yep, this was me this week, actually. And I'll be totally real and honest here that we relaunched our digital program and we did it evergreen this time. So we're like, you know what? We've launched this a few times live in the past. We know it converts. We know this is great. We've gotten feedback from people. Let's make a few tweaks and let's just put it on evergreen. And then we could just kind of scale it in our own time, you know, and tweak as we go, as opposed to having to do these big launches every time. So we're like, okay, great. We're going to do it. So we opened the doors this week. I put that in air quotes because, I mean, it's evergreen, right? So it's kind of like, okay, we opened the doors and we're driving traffic to it. And it was like, wait, this all of a sudden was not converting how I thought it was going to be. And I went into this downward spiral. I started jumping around, right? I didn't even have the data yet to be able to look at it and to say like, oh, it's because X, Y, or Z wasn't working. Like you said, the landing page or, you know, little small tweaks. And my coach called me out on it. And she was like, Courtney, like, who have you reverted to? Like, who is this person right now? Because she was like, you're operating from this place of fear. She was like, what is the thought that you're thinking? And I had said it at some point and we were chatting back and forth. And she was like, you know, she called me out. She was like, the thought is that I'm afraid this won't work. And it was so true because there was that thought in my mind because it was something new, something I'd done live launches before, but I'd never put something on absolute automation. And like, this was the first time doing it. So there was that little voice in my head, like, well, what if this doesn't work? Then what, you know? And that caused this emotional state of fear, which then caused me to be very reactionary in my actions. And this went on for a good like 36 hours, right? And I was like, oh, it's my messaging that's broken. Oh, it's this, it's this, this. And then it was like, it clicked for me yesterday. And I was like, and it was funny too, because like knowing what I know and all of this that we're talking about, managing your state, and sometimes you catch your own self in it and you're like, oh, but I know this. I know what I need to do. But it's like, you're still feeling the emotion, right? So learning this doesn't mean you're not going to feel the emotion anymore. It just means that you know what to do to navigate through it, which can be so powerful because in years past, I would have let that derail me. I would have probably ditched the program, throw it out the window, said, oh, this doesn't work. You know, said, oh, turning something on evergreen is a bad move. You can only launch it. I would have created all these other stories to interpret that one event because, you know, of the way that I was feeling and the meaning I was assigning to it. Whereas with this, I let myself be there for a little while. And then I was like, okay, what is it that I need to do right now or to not do in order to approach this from more of a responsive place, you know? And simply, I'll tell you, like simply having the awareness of what the thought was, the emotion it was creating, and the fact that I just needed to like sit back and give it some time to let the data collect so that I could then analyze and be like, okay, this is what we need to tweak. Come on, keep moving forward. Let's go. It was a game changer. It made all the difference. So I share this to say that like, it's not like you're not going to get emotional sometimes, or things might not happen that you'll react to. We're human beings, right? We have that emotional side for a reason. But when we can learn how to tune in and recognize those emotions as guideposts, recognize that, oh, they're actually there to point us in a direction, you know, not to just like spiral out of control, it changes everything. It can become so, so powerful.
Oh my gosh, yes. And just to kind of piggyback on that, I think it's important for people to realize, because I think a lot of people, once they kind of have learned a little bit of this and then they go into the downward spiral, then they make a meaning on top of that. Oh my God, because I have gone into the spiral, it means that I'm not good enough. I'm not doing a good enough job releasing my limiting beliefs. I still have so much more work to do, right? And then there can be like a whole other layer. And so then it's like the guilt and the shame and all the resentment, everything just kind of starts to pile up. And that's where the real downward spiral can really keep you down.
Yes.
Make you feel really low. But I think it's important to note that as human beings, our brains are meaning-making machines. Our brains love narrative. We're wired that way for survival, and it hates the unknown, again, for survival. And so when you kind of combine those two in the realm of entrepreneurship, you just have to be super aware that your wiring is setting you up for this game, right? Because if we go into a situation like that where our launch is about to go evergreen, we've never done that before, our brain's temptation, because it's unknown, because we've never done it before, is to create a whole story about what it has to look like, what it needs to look like, the numbers that we need to be seeing at a certain point, right? And it might not even be totally conscious or intentional in the way that we're doing it, but our brain loves to create narrative for things so that it can understand and explain things contextually. That's why storytelling is so powerful and helps us remember, right? So we like to build story and narrative around things, but it also hates the unknown. And so when you've got that combination, it's like, that's just kind of a little bit, and maybe this is a belief I have, but I'm going to say now, this is essentially a part of the human condition as we know it now. Then, but that's not to say that we can't evolve and ascend past that, because I've touched that. I've gotten out of that, and I've touched that like higher level of consciousness that allows me to have freedom up from that. But I think in the 3D, in the way that most of us operate, that's kind of how we're wired.
Yep. Totally. And same, you know, because I've had those experiences too, where it's like, okay, this is what's going on. And yet I'm not bogged down by it. I'm not, you know, pulled away or pulled down from it and all of these things. And you kind of, like you said, that higher level of consciousness almost, you know, and it's so interesting because as humans, like you mentioned, we're going to have these experiences, but having the awareness is where that shift can really start. You know, without that awareness, well, then we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, expecting a different result, hoping things will change, you know, clinging on with white knuckles, like, please, you know, I'm working as hard as I can, please. And we're not going to achieve the results that we want. We're not going to be able to hit our goals as quickly. And we can start to develop and cultivate that awareness. I think that is so key.
It is. And I think for me, one tool that I would love to share with you guys, I don't know if you listen to Abraham Hicks, but the emotional guidance scale, if you literally type this into Google and click on like Google image search, you'll see a visual image of this. And essentially the way that they describe it, it's like you were saying before, our emotions are our guide. And that's exactly how they describe it as well, that our emotional guidance system is allowing us to navigate our thoughts. And they mentioned this in The Secret as well, that, you know, we think, you know, approximately 60,000 thoughts per day. Joe Dispenza talks about how 92% of those thoughts are the same thoughts from yesterday. So when you're like, why can't I change? Why can't I shift? You know, it's because your brain gets wired to automate as much as possible to free up as much brain space as possible. And that sometimes kind of bites us in the butt when we want to do something different or think something different. And so when we kind of look at it that way, when we look at the emotional guidance scale, we're able to identify where we are emotionally. So they kind of, and there's different labels that you can use depending on your own internal representation, your own interpretation of a specific emotion. For the most part, they have at the very bottom, like powerlessness, depression. Right above that is anger, which tends to surprise people that anger would be above depression and powerlessness. But if you think about it, when you're depressed and powerless, there's no energy, there's no movement, there's no motion behind that. But anger, at least that has some energy. At least that can get you up off the couch a little bit. And so they kind of go up through their ranking of these labels of various emotions all the way up to, you know, contentment and then gratitude and joy and all these different things. And so when I was really first kind of exploring a lot of my own psyche in the early days of therapy and coaching and whatnot, I was able to use this tool to kind of check in and feel into where I was on a daily basis. And that was really helpful because I got to notice where my kind of emotional set point was the majority of the time. And that is something that is going to be, if you don't know or you don't want to admit it to yourself, then you should definitely start thinking about it. Like, how do you feel the majority of the time? And you can ask your friends and family, the ones who will actually be honest with you. And you can't get mad at them, because if you ask, you just need to receive their how they are interpreting you. And if they say you're anxious all the time, you're a very anxious person, that's your emotional set point, just realize that that doesn't necessarily make it true. It's just information. Someone else's projection of you is not you, right? So again, someone else's projection of you is not you. So if they're saying you're anxious all the time, that's one version that they are seeing. And so you want to get real with yourself and really figure out, okay, am I in gratitude 99% of the time? It's like, you know what? 10% of the time, I'm in total anxious mess. 20% of the time, I'm this. But like, what's the majority? Where do you find yourself most of the time? Because we can start to peel this back and really say, okay, if I am, like, you might even look at your parents. Like, I remember looking at someone in my family, and we always used to be like, oh, he's just grumpy. He's just like a grump. That's just his personality, right? We assigned it to this personality. He's a grumpy personality. He's the curmudgeon who's going to like stand on the porch and yell at the children for being loud. Well, that's how we identify his personality now, that he's always in a bad mood. But if we walk that back, that's not his personality. That's become his personality because it's an emotional state that he's practiced over time. That he's older, so he's kind of locked that into place. And so when he's not in a bad mood, it's kind of a surprise. So we just want to become more and more aware of these things. And that's, of course, as you guys all listening know, because you're listening to this amazing podcast, like that is the power of this work and the power of coaching and really being able to intentionally choose how you want to feel on a daily basis. Because it's not just about how it is today. This is a compounding, kind of ever flowing, moving, shifting thing that we're existing in. And so to be able to kind of nail down how you want to feel and then move towards that, being able to have, like, emotions are, I feel like people are like, oh, you want to feel more confident, you want to feel happier. It's like, yeah, but how do you measure that? Mm-hmm. And I'm such like a linear thinking person that to have an actual scale that I could rate myself on, that gave me so much like more control and understanding and context of how I was actually feeling. So if you guys haven't checked that out, emotional guidance scale.
Yes. And I will definitely put that in the show notes. And I think even just simply recognizing, I love what you just said about the choice that we have. We get to choose how we feel. So yeah, this might be the set point that we recognize. And it's like, okay, I'm coming into this new awareness. Okay, this is where I operate from most of the time. I didn't know that about myself before. But now that I have that new knowledge and this new awareness, and I notice that this is the level that I want to operate from, you know, this higher level of being, this level that I feel is more in alignment with who I am and who I want to show up in the world as, that we can make that choice to start to align ourselves more with that, you know, and then just to start, and it becomes, you know, it takes practice, it's little consistencies over time. But like when you notice like those thoughts maybe that pop in, you know, of fear or anxiety or whatever it is that might be very familiar in your set point, right? That emotional set point, that familiar state, to just start recognizing those, recognizing when you have those thoughts and what can I do to shift out of that. And just these little things that we can do that is so powerful. And I think, you know, our culture doesn't give it enough credit. It's like, go, 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 and do, 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 and hustle, 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 and work as hard as you possibly can, you know, so that one day you can enjoy some kind of great quality of life. It's like, no, it's backwards. It works the other way around.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
What's interesting too is over the last couple of months, I've really gone on this journey of deepening where previously I was all about the reframe, all about getting myself into, you know, that higher vibrational state. And what I wasn't really holding space for was allowing myself to sit in some of these quote unquote lower vibration emotions. And it's almost like this positivity movement has gone, the pendulum went in the other direction, where now it's like, oh, you're not allowed to feel sad kind of thing, which I think is such a missed opportunity, especially like right now with everything going on in the world. I've just been inviting a lot of the people that I've had conversations with to really allow yourself to sit in the discomfort Like the emotions that you're experiencing, high vibration, low vibration, however you want to label them, they're coming up for a reason. You're experiencing them for a reason. And so, you know, even if it's something like comparison or jealousy, just talking to somebody about this the other day, you know, instead of being like, oh, I shouldn't feel that way, I'm just going to unfollow everybody. Yeah, there's a time and place for that. But also there's a moment there where we can pause and really stop and say, well, why am I feeling jealous of this person? And why am I feeling envious? And why am I comparing myself? And that's a moment where we can pull back and say, oh, this is my inner vibrational being, my emotional guidance system, teaching me more of what I want and more of what I don't want. It's showing me that, oh, I saw this person spoke on the stage or launched this book or had a six-figure launch, whatever it is. And I'm feeling like, why can't that happen to me? So that's just more information about, oh, that is what I want. So now I'm getting more clear on my highest desires. I'm getting more clear on what's possible in our world that, okay, if this person has done it, that's more evidence that it can happen. And really being able to explore why you think it hasn't happened for you, in the sense, not of like, oh, poor me, but okay, what is it that I'm not allowing myself to experience? And maybe it's like, you're not allowing yourself to experience jealousy. And so that's been a block for you in kind of ascending and exploring this new level of expansion. So I think there's so much information in the emotions that we often avoid trying to feel. And so it's not just a matter of like, it's interesting to see how this manifests. For a lot of coaches, it's like reframe quickly, get yourself out of feeling that way. And then for most of the world who doesn't have any coaching tools, it's turn on Netflix. It's avoidance behaviors and all these different coping mechanisms, drinking, numbing, right? And for coaches, it's reframing. But really, if we step back, we're still kind of avoiding feeling some of those emotions that quote unquote we don't want to feel: anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt. So how do we allow ourselves to not live in that emotion, but to be conscious and intentional about the time where we just allow ourselves to sit in the discomfort? When I started doing that over the last 6 months, I'll tell you, it wasn't the most fun thing, not at all, but I had some of the most insane transformational releases, things come up that I didn't even know I was holding on to. I had no idea, but I never would have figured that out. Maybe not never, but I wouldn't have figured it out in that time frame had I not given myself the permission to let it be a little messy, let it be a little ugly. So that's just the invitation that I give to you guys now. I think this is a beautiful moment in time for us all to really step deeper into healing as certain things are coming up for us very quickly.
Yes. Oh, I'm so grateful that you touched on this because it's so true. And it's so funny, like you hit the nail on the head, how our instant desire. So it's like, okay, now I notice all these beliefs. So now I want to reframe them. And yet that is just another coping mechanism to avoid pain. And going back to that example I shared about the Evergreen launch. And so my coach, you know, she was like, you know, and this is the thought that you're having. I'm afraid this won't work. And this is the fear. And I was like, so what am I supposed to do now? Go journal about my irrational fears. And I was joking, but not joking, because I knew that that's what I needed to do, was to go and be in it and process it and to just be like, why? Why is this coming up for me? Why is this even a thing for me? You know? And it's so amazing and so insightful what we can learn about ourselves. Like you said, when we give ourselves that permission to be open and to just be aware and to notice what might come up, which, you know, it's just your unconscious mind presenting that to you for resolution because it's something that you need to work through and learn through and heal through. So, yeah.
You've got to process it. You hit the nail on the head. And exactly that with the unconscious. If we have not yet gotten the lessons, we're going to continuously be in the same vibration because we haven't released it yet. So we're going to continuously be getting the same things over and over again. And if you have certain patterns that you've been experiencing in your life, it's probably because you haven't taken the time to, or taken even a moment to pause and really extract the lesson. Like the subconscious, unconscious mind wants you to get the lesson. That's why it's holding on to that pattern, that belief, because it's waiting for you to learn so that you can then move forward. Because if you think about it, there's so many people who are like, oh, I want the six-figure business now. I want the big launches now. I want the team now. Or I want the million-dollar business, whatever that may be. But if you had those things now, with the beliefs, tools, resources that you have internally, you probably would freak out. You probably wouldn't be able to handle that next level of abundance. And so all of this inner work of processing and learning and extracting the lessons that's all the foundation on which this next level expansion is being built. And so you can't skip that work.
No, that's where the work is. That's what I say too to people. I'm like, that's the only work that matters. Stop trying to like color code your calendar and like, you know, figure out, you know, the best organizational systems for your inbox. I'm like, that's not what it's about, you know? And yeah, we could just overwork ourselves, which again is another coping mechanism to avoid feeling pain. At least that's how I choose to look at it. And it's just, it's amazing. That's a whole nother conversation. I'll have you back on the show. We can unpack that one, you know, because it's like, gosh, so, so powerful. And one of the resources that you have that I would love for you to speak to a little bit as well is, I was just, you know, over there stalking your website in a friendly way, of course, you know, I love to do that. And it's like, ooh, okay. Like, cause this is stuff I eat this stuff up and I love it. And it's so powerful. And I hope that those of you listening can start to understand and appreciate what we're talking about here, and that it's not just about, you know, learning the next strategy or a better, more efficient way to do something. It's about being willing to focus on your internal game, you know, and to look at that and to play that game and to learn how to win. That's what's going to help you get to the next level. That's what's going to help you grow. And your point about, you know, if you had the $1 million business today, you wouldn't be able to handle it, or at least not for very long. It wouldn't be sustainable because you haven't grown to that capacity yet. Yeah. So the resource that you have that I love, so getting back to that, because I can go on these tangents, but is, you know, 12 of the most common limiting beliefs. And I know that for people that are listening and they're like, you know, okay, I've heard you talk about these things, Courtney, limiting beliefs, you talk about these things all the time. Like, but how do I start to identify what mine are? And that's what I love about this is like just some of the most common ones that I would imagine are just great starting points for people who are like trying to enter into this conversation and cultivate more of this awareness about themselves and about that inner dialogue. So can you tell us a little bit about that and maybe like, what are the top three, you know, that are really common?
Yeah. So it's so funny. I created this because I started sharing a lot of this stuff on Instagram, and those pieces of content were getting the most shares, the most saves, which I thought was really fascinating. So I was like, oh, what if I just make this a one sheet for people? So really what it is I'm talking about like brain-based coaching techniques, but this is something that you can use with your coaching clients or in your content or just on yourself. So I kind of go through just the 12 most common that come up, and really the top three that I have are, you know, when I'm coaching people, they might say like, I don't know what program to create. I'm just confused. And so if you're a coach and you hear somebody say that, how do you challenge that belief? How do you open them up? Really looking at how to open up their subconscious mind to explore more possibility. Because when people are inside their problem, they are not, and they're in that negative state, right? All success is state dependent. So they're in the problem and they're not able to see other solutions. Like literally their brain is filtering out possibilities. They can have 10 different solutions sitting right in front of them. But like, you know, the little kid who's like, mom, where's the milk? Like if I come in there and it's sitting right in front in the fridge, there's going to be a problem. Are you sure you didn't look right in the fridge? Never mind, right? Like we filter that out when we believe I can't find the milk, right? So same thing with our clients. If they say something like, I'm confused, one way that I've reframed it is I ask them, well, okay, like they have this label that confusion is bad, which I find so fascinating. You say, well, what comes after confusion? And that's all I need to ask. I don't tell them it's not bad to be confused. I just ask them a question that challenges the beliefs that they have or makes them actually explore what the confusion process actually allows for them. And so usually they're like, oh, what comes after confusion? Breakthroughs, clarity, understanding, celebration. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. Confusion is a sign that your brain is making new neural connections and is learning. So next time you feel confused, celebrate the confusion, don't avoid it, and go say, I don't want to do this anymore. And you turn on Netflix, and then you literally break that. And then you train yourself to avoid confusion. And I know I used to do that as a little kid. I would, you know, go into a complete panic when I would have a test the next day. Like, I don't understand, I'm confused. And then I would get myself all worked up. But now I see I had trained myself that way. And then I untrained it and rebuilt all these new beliefs simply by just challenging some of the ways that I grew up, some of my ways of being. My other favorite one is when people say, I don't know. We hear that a lot, right? And when we continuously say, I don't know, like I was saying before, that becomes your mantra. So you're literally hypnotizing your subconscious, your unconscious, to believe that that's true. And again, going back to like the way that we filter information, if you have a belief, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, and that becomes a thing that you say to yourself all the time, again, the milk could be right in front of you, but you don't see it because you keep telling yourself, I don't know. And so on the free guide, one of the things that I have there is as a response, like, since you don't know, it means you could know the answer and not know that you already know it. And people are always like, wait, what? Say that again. Yeah, it's intentional. It's a little bit hypnotic. And the intention is to almost scramble your conscious, which keeps lying to you and telling you you don't know, so we can actually speak to your subconscious and really work through some of that belief. So since you don't know, it actually means you could know the answer and not know that you already know it. So if you did know, what would it be? All right. So I really love playing with some of this like hypnotic language that really penetrates through the critical faculty of the conscious mind to the subconscious to really help you create more freedom in the way that you perceive the world. So there's 12 on this guide altogether. They're super fun.
This is awesome. I love it. And it's like, yes, you know, and even as you're talking, I'm like, yeah, this is, oh, it's just because, okay, going back to this example, just because it was very recent and then just, it's all the things that we're touching on today. And so like, just to make it super concrete for people, like, this is kind of how it manifests sometimes, or that it could, at least this is how it did for me this week, where when I was in that state of fear and just kind of allowing myself to be there and feeling all that, as uncomfortable as it was, exactly what you said, I knew that, like, you know, I'm standing at the door of confusion, I always say, and knocking, like, please let me through, because this is a very painful, very uncomfortable place to be. But I know that it's necessary in order for that door to open, right? And so I woke up the next morning, the very first thought I had, as clear as day, was the new tagline or promise for my program, that I was like, oh my gosh, how did I not see that before? It was so clear. I was like, this is like, nothing else had to change. And I didn't even have all the data yet, but I was like, if anything in my messaging has to change, this is it. And everything else that I was just going over in my mind and turning over and over and over, it was like, it all just lined up right then. And that's it. Like, right. So it's just like, as you said, you know, like, oh, I'm so confused. When we know and we can see and get to that, just to be able to visualize even like that on the other side of that confusion is the thing that we're looking for, to not be afraid of being confused, to let ourselves be in that, to look at the learnings, to cultivate that awareness. And like you said, to celebrate it, because this other thing, this clarity, you know, this insight that we want is right there on the other side. And so it's this dance that we begin to see emerge, that it's, you know, sometimes, you know, these negative emotions, I'll never forget, I had a client, one of my mastermind retreats one time, and she was like, every time you say the word negative emotion, I just want to like run away. Like, I don't know. I don't even want to feel negative emotion. Like, right. And like you said, the pendulum kind of swung to the other side of all this positivity. And I was like, well, I'm just using negative to describe the energy that we would maybe feel in those states, right? It's a lower energy. Negative doesn't mean bad. It just is just like using that as a descriptor, you know? And I was like, so we've got to have that, because without it, then we would never really be able to appreciate the, in air quotes, positive emotion. You know, that's that higher vibrational state where we do feel uplifted and happy and joyful and grateful and all these things. So when we can start to learn that these are these emotions we feel, these experiences we experience, there's this dance that's going on. And sometimes we're going to be in a lower state. And when we can allow ourselves to be there, knowing that the higher state is right on the other side, we can process through it, we can learn from it. It's this beautiful ebb and flow and this beautiful dance. And I don't know, I think it's a beautiful journey to be on. Wouldn't you agree? Like,
oh, yeah, so much so.
I know.
It's just, I could talk about this stuff all day. Seriously.
I'll definitely have to get you back on the show and talk about this some more, because it is so important for people to realize. And I hope that those of you listening, you know, can have some really tangible takeaways here. You know, we've unpacked a lot today. And the last question that I always ask every guest that comes on the show, which I love hearing the answers to these, because they're always so different and so diverse and so beautiful. And the question is this, Jen, what is your definition of success?
My definition of success has definitely changed over the years. But I think now my definition of success is moving towards or having the things that I desire most from a place of alignment. I've had quote unquote on paper success, but I've been freaking miserable. And that's the furthest thing from success. That's, as Tony Robbins says, success without fulfillment, you know, is not success. And having that fulfillment, having that alignment, that's everything.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love it. Awesome. Jen, I know people are going to want to connect with you. They're going to look up those resources. I'll link to them in the show notes as well. But where can they find you online?
So I am pretty much everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, at HeyJenCasey. Also HeyJenCasey.com. If you guys want to check out the guide, it's HeyJenCasey.com/guide. That's what we were just talking about before. But yeah, that's where you can come find me, and also the Inner Boss podcast.
Awesome. Jen, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. This is an awesome conversation, and I know that it's so valuable for people. So thank you.
Thank you, Courtney. This was so great.
Growing a business is hard work, but here at The Effortless Life, we believe it doesn't have to be. We're a company on a mission to help enhance the quality of life for busy entrepreneurs everywhere. One of our superpowers is helping entrepreneurs like you who feel overworked get the systems and support in place in your business so that you can finally start scaling your company and bring your vision to life. So if you're tired of working yourself to the max and winding up in the same place as you did last year with nothing ever really changing, then wouldn't you agree it's time to learn how to build a business you run, not one that runs you? You don't have to work as hard as you think you do in order to get the results you want. It all boils down to how clear your business plan is, how clear your strategy is to achieve it, and how clear you are on your role as the visionary leader of your company. If you aren't clear on these things, I want to help. When you head to CourtneyElmer.com/CEO, you can find out the dates and times for my next live virtual workshop where I'm going to walk you through the structure and the systems you need to have in your business so you can get out from under all that busy work and be free to do the things that you are good at. Now, these are by invite only, so if getting out of stuck mode and gaining real traction is something you want to do this year, then make sure you're on the list at CourtneyElmer.com/CEO. As you might have heard me mention inside this episode, if you want to join me for our next live workshop where I'm going to show you how to avoid the biggest mistakes that cause most podcasts to fail within the first 12 months and literally walk you through the exact framework that we teach our students to launch their shows in the top 100 and convert more of their listeners to clients, just go to theeffortlesslife.co/podcast workshop. That's theeffortlesslife.co/podcast workshop.